White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 511.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! Welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with TheWarEagleReader.com, and by people like you, out there in TV land, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, you are our Patreon.com family, and what would we do without you? Who am I? I'm Van Halen Plexico, and we are doing this live right now over YouTube and Periscope, I believe, on Twitter. And John is trying to get himself insinuated into the show. So I'll just say I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
There he is. And John, we have a couple of things to talk about tonight.
Actually, we have breaking news. Are you ready for this?
Hold on. Go ahead.
Breaking news.
Don't you say
Sharif Cooper cleared to practice with the basketball team.
Whoa!
Not play, just practice.
Now, how do you clear him to practice but not play?
They're still figuring it out.
Ah. Well, I mean, if he doesn't play, then you couldn't retroactively have to forfeit games, right? But if he practices, that wouldn't affect any wins or losses, I'm assuming.
The word I am hearing is that he is expected to be cleared soon.
I heard some talk the other day that somebody was saying it had been like 0% chance he would ever play for us, and now it was looking more like 50-50. So not that we want to go down the rabbit hole of all the stuff that was involving. But yeah, that is truly breaking news. That would be great, because it occurred to me this morning that if he never, even if he only plays this season, so who was our great player that went to the NBA, got drafted like the fifth pick this past year?
Okoro.
Isaac Okoro, yes. If Cooper only plays this year, we would have had Isaac Okoro and Sharif Cooper, and neither one of them ever play in a postseason game for Auburn. And that is truly depressing. But that's our luck, so that's just kind of the way it goes. Josh said he isn't free, just on parole. And he was practicing, wasn't, now is. Yeah, no kidding. That would be great. That would give us some much needed good stuff coming out to counter some of this bad stuff, for sure. Sounds like an Alabama kind of record. Okay. Well, I think what we need to do, well, first we need to take a moment to remember Kevin Green, because Kevin Green was an awesome, I believe, linebacker at Auburn, walk-on linebacker at Auburn in the early Pat Dye era, and then went on to play defensive end in the NFL, mostly for the Steelers, the Packers, I believe. And I'm not exactly sure what happened to him, but today word came out. I was kind of like thinking it couldn't be right, you know, couldn't be accurate at first. But in the middle of all this other crazy stuff going on, we lost Kevin Green. So that's... it's depressing, but he was a heck of a man.
It is a great pass rusher, both at Auburn and the NFL. I mean, had 11 sacks his senior year at Auburn, but also went into Auburn ROTC. In addition to being the football team, he was commissioned as an officer, went through the Armor Basic Course, and went through Airborne School. yes, Josh, I can see the comments on the side of the screen. So just can't get my camera to work, so... rest in peace, Kevin Green.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, Rusty says heart attack is what I heard. Yeah. I suspected that, it was probably, one of your brothers pops up and says, worked out with his son and his wife, found him in the bathroom. Yeah. working out. So, yeah, I probably strained him, and he was probably having some issues he probably didn't even know about. Yeah, so won't speculate beyond that, but it's just sad. So, all right, well, a lot going on. So we talked about Sharif Cooper. We talked about Kevin Green. Those are both stories that would be really big on the other day, but there is something else going on, you know, and that's that Sergio Perez is going to get to drive for Red Bull next year.
I don't know who that is.
Checo, free Checo. No, the big story, of course, is the coaching search, and we have a few things to say about it. Do we not?
We do.
All right, take it away. You can run the point on this little part.
All right, so we're going to do some. First question is: if you had to describe your feelings about the coaching search in one word right now, what would that word be?
Barf. Barf. What about you?
Maybe mine would be disappointing, but I like barf. So, you know, we're gonna talk about the process to this point and a few questions and issues around it, and then we're gonna talk about candidates and stuff. And you know, we're gonna talk about some of the rumors around the coaching search and what people are saying and all that. And I want to say two things at the beginning. One is the evaluation of whoever we hire and however they end up getting hired will be, you know, a year or two from now. So it's not going to be the, you know, win the press conference thing. It's going to be something we evaluate down the road. So I think that's important to think about. And because, again, we have seen a lot of coaches hired in the last two or three years that won the press conference that aren't any good now, right? That have disappointed tremendously. That,
sure.
You know, the Tom Herman's and Scott Frost's and Justin Fuentes and on and on and on. So winning the press conference isn't the thing. It's down the road. So that's number one. And number two, we're going to talk about some of these rumors, but you and I are not there, and they're rumors. And so that's all we're going to give them as rumors. It's not, this is what absolutely happened. This is what, you know, some people say happened, and it can be skeptical about whether that's real or not. So, people providing information have reasons they provide it, and sometimes it's to slant things the way they want to. So,
yeah,
that's part of the reason information gets out. So,
you got a search committee with 57 people on it, like it seemed like we had. I mean, they've been leaking like the Nixon White House. It's like, you know, Woodward and Bernstein all over Twitter just been telling us all the. It's like I was watching the development of the committee in real time while wondering, how am I watching what the committee is doing here? There might as well be a camera in the room, you know, on the Zoom thing or whatever. It's like how, you know, you get every so often a tweet would come through like, oh, you know, they're doing this. Oh, no, now they're doing this. Well, now this person has said no. Now they're talking to this person. Now this person has said no. Now this person wants this. I'm like, how do we know all this? How are we getting all this information?
Good questions. And that's one of the things we need to talk about is why do we know some of those things? Why do we know some of those things now, right? So let's step back a little bit. Big picture. Gus was fired a week ago yesterday. And since then, you know, we had signing day coming Wednesday. There was pressure to try to, you know, we thought they might try to do something before then, a week ago in this podcast. It seems like forever ago in coaching search time.
Yep.
We then didn't hire somebody right away. And then you're right. We hired a search firm and put a committee together. And now they're talking to people. And there's lots of names out there that they may have talked to or tried to talk to or not talked to. But it's, you know, the rumors and the speculation out there are not good. And so they, thank you, Elvis. that's really helping. The rumors were that the ugly pieces of the rumors were that, you know, Kevin Steele and Roddy Gardner have been talking behind the back of Gus to some of the board of trustees members and other people, the other boosters, to try to get Gus out. I don't know about that one, but it's out there. And then also that, you know, the plan all along was to kind of force Steele through as the preferred candidate, that was the deal all along. And so, and then there was other pieces of it. There's been rumors that part of it is to get rid of the current athletic director and make somebody else the athletic director and that kind of stuff. And then it was, yeah, we know who it was. So Tim Jackson. So, that's, We'll talk a little bit about hiring philosophy and all that kind of stuff. But there was a lot of bad rumors over the last week. And you've seen, as the coaching search goes along, like as Vane was describing, all these leaks and stories and all that stuff, these cause problems, right? And these, you know, may make potential candidates get out there and see what they want, you know, question the value of applying to Auburn. So then when Kevin Steele emerged as the front-running candidate a week ago, whatever, a huge online campaign broke out, the parodying the election stuff called Stop the Steal. And a bunch of people were tweeting
Stop
that.
Steal, not Stop the Steal. That's a different campaign.
Same thing. So they.
No, it's not the same thing, John. It's not the same thing at all. It's not the same thing.
They tweeted Stop Steal to prevent Kevin Steele from being the head coach. And we'll get into him as a candidate and how we feel about that and all that. But we're just rehashing events of the last week, all right?
Well, can I note
–
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just want to there were two things about Steele. One was that he and – allegedly he and our defensive line coach – names always evaporate from my head when I'm in front of
– Ronnie Garner.
Ronnie Garner were working behind the scenes to kind of oust Gus.
Yes.
And the other thing was that they were promising Steele he would be the next head coach because he wants to get to finish out his retirement years in the Alabama system, which is the exact same thing we went through in 1998 with Brother Oliver. Remember, Brother Oliver came to Auburn because Alabama was letting him go and he wanted to work his last few years and get his retirement. They promised him he'd be the head coach after they fired Terry. He basically stabbed Terry in the back. And then instead we hired Tuberville. So we've seen this movie before almost exactly. It's amazing. More things change, more they stay exactly the same.
It is. And we'll get into some of the other reasons about Steele too. Like there's some issues there around is this really about saving money, which is kind of upsetting. So the other thing that happened is, you know, there's a lot of stuff coming out. And a lot of the stuff coming out, I'm going to be honest, I think is kind of public show from people inside and outside the search about things. Some of it's real and some of it's, you know, things that people want to put out to push their agenda and what they want. So the big event last week was it was clear that kind of crystal ball of Oregon was the number one candidate. We supposedly made an offer. He got a counteroffer from Oregon. The Oregon Board of Trustees met last Thursday, and there was this running thing like Auburn fans were dialing in to the Oregon Board of Trustees meeting on last Thursday. And they only had one agenda item. It was offering him a new contract, and they did. And then there was a press release afterwards saying that he accepted it. And that offer was $4.8 million, which would be 10th in the SEC. 10th.
Golly, okay. I never saw the numbers. Wow.
10th.
So we were paying Gus $7 million a year guaranteed, and he's got a huge raise now because of us to 4.8.
Yeah. But again, 10th.
Unbelievable. Okay. Unbelievable. So unbelievable.
Yeah. So, you know, was he really interested in Auburn? Was he going to come here? Was he using us to get a raise from Oregon? Like, that part we'll never know. But I also feel like we clearly didn't go in there and say, you're the A number one candidate. Let's back up the truck and do whatever we can. No. We're not leaving until you say yes. So I have a, you know, and this is what I want to talk about is kind of my philosophy about hiring, whether it's coaches or athletic directors or whatever. Okay. And you mentioned the other person's name that they were referring to as athletic director candidate. And I think this is a good example. Okay. When our rivals, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, hire an athletic director, they do a nationwide search and they see which other athletic departments are the best run by the smartest people who are both making money, you know, being successful in sports, complying with NCAA rules, and, you know, and that they're really making those athletic departments better. And they hire those people. You know, Florida and A&M and Alabama have all stolen away big time athletic directors from other schools in the last 3 or 4 years or 5 years. Okay. And meanwhile, you know, Auburn picked up Alan Green from Buffalo and he's a good candidate and I like him. But the idea that we're going to promote this other guy to athletic director is the kind of thing that I want to talk talk about, because he's not a person that's going to get offered an AE job at any other college in America. So if he's not worthy of being a candidate at any other school in America, why should we hire him? I want the best people for Auburn.
Who are you referring to? Who are you referring to?
Tim Jackson.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, no, that's 100% just that same old crowd. They, you know, the story was that when we had the current president of the university, we had Jay Jacobs. Then when we went to Leith, he wanted more of a money guy, more of a technocrat. So he brought in Alan Green, because instead of a good old boy face of the program PR guy, he wanted an actual guy that, you know, knew money and fundraising and stuff like that. But that's not, but now we have the previous president back again, but with, we have the AD that was hired for the middle president. And so the current president, and the current, you know, we're back to running things the way we always have again now. And that crowd doesn't want, you know, an accountant, basically, a fundraiser, a PR guy who is independent, has a brain. They want a face of the program that will be their mouthpiece and say and do what they want. And that would be the person that we're talking about here, allegedly. So they just want to go back to Jay Jacobs and have a Jay Jacobs clone as the back to the future, you know.
And this goes to the head coaching search thing, right?
Yes.
What was the goal of getting rid of Gus and moving forward? Okay. Was it A, because we want to be better at football, or was it B, we wanted something different and we didn't care whether we're better at football or not, but we'd like to be better? Or C, we wanted something different and we don't care whether we're better at football, but we want to save some money. At D, we want all of those things, and oh, we want somebody who will, like, give us our sideline access and all that stuff back. And right now, it's looking a lot like D is Auburn's priority. Yeah. When in my mind, the only thing that matters is A. Okay, I don't care about that other crap. The idea that Cristobal accepted an offer that would be 10th in the SEC pisses me off. I'm sorry. We should have gone there and offered him $6 million and made him say no.
Yes.
And so the idea that we didn't do that is a problem. And you think, like, oh, wow, we didn't get that guy. I'm going to tell you, a year from now, when Texas or Michigan or some of these other schools open up, they're going to go there and pay the buyout and hire that guy away. So, you know, we should be looking for who is the best football coach that nationwide. I don't care if they've ever set foot in the state of Alabama. Who's the best football coach we can get right now? And I think too many people at Auburn, and the names I see are like, who's the best football coach that we could get for our kind of small boutique, you know, Middle South school or whatever? And it really bothers me.
Absolutely.
This thinking. And so I don't understand not considering these other candidates. And I think when you look at these other – but this is the other question again. Who would we hire that Alabama and Georgia, A, would consider hiring themselves, or B, would be afraid of? Okay? Those are the kind of questions we ought to be asking, not how can we save a couple extra $1 million and interview – because the other thing that's out there today is that we're interviewing people and saying, well, we want you to keep some of the current coaches because we don't want to – you know, because we think they're good coaches. But reality is we want to buy them out.
Right. And we promised Steele this retirement thing and everything. Well, and I think that there's some genuine legitimacy to the idea that that those people think that Steele is a really good defensive coordinator and don't want to lose him. Remember,
I don't care about that at all.
You and I have talked about this many times this season. John, seriously, how many times have you and I had this conversation where we said, you know, where I've said, like, they're afraid to fire Gus because they're afraid it would also cost them Steele. They want to get rid of Gus, but they're afraid they'd also lose Steele in the process. So what they did was like a backdoor deal where they could get rid of Gus and promise Steele he would stay on and maybe even be the head coach. They figured a way around that dilemma that you and I have been debating all year and talking about. But I wanted to go down this list and just kind of catch folks up on what's happened just in the last 24 hours.
But can we go back to that point for 1 second before we do the list? Because that's really important. The idea that you are going to candidates and demanding that they keep certain coaches is an absolute no for big-time candidates.
Except it's what we've always done, though. Terry Bowden kept Pat Dye defensive coaches. Gene Chizik had some of Tubbs' coaches, probably. I can't remember. Maybe not.
No.
But it seems like we've done this before.
But this, if I'm a big-time coach that could go to any job in the country, I want to have absolute say. Maybe I keep Steele, maybe I don't, but it's my choice, not your choice.
Right.
When you're telling me that what I hear is that I'm not going to have choices about other things, that I'm not going to have choices about the recruiting, you know, how I spend the recruiting budget or what we're doing over here. Well, you know, what I hear is this is going to be the first of many times. You're putting your finger on me and tell me you got to do it this way and you got to do it this way. No, that keeps us from getting the big person. And I'm going to tell you, Alabama was like this before.
Yeah.
They were like this before.
Paul Jr.
They did the same crap. Exactly. They interfere all the time. They micromanage the coaching staff and all that crap. But Texas does that now, and it gets them in the situation they're in. And if we and when Saban got to Tuscaloosa, he said, no, everybody get in line. We're doing it my way. No crap. And if we want to win, we have to do it that way. That's the deal. You can't – we've been like this for 5 or 8 years where everybody who's been against Gus, we haven't been rowing in the same direction, and now we're here. And so I'm sorry for ranting. I'm just fired up about this. No. And I was a lot more fired up this afternoon. Okay, so walk down the list of candidates and let's talk about it.
Well, no, that's – you're exactly right. That's exactly what we were going to talk about. I'm just imagining, you know, from what we remember of Terry Bowden in 1993, because it's very instructive to look back and say, we've done this before. Why wouldn't they think we could get away with it again? They did it before. The difference was at the end of 1992, when they interviewed Terry Bowden, Terry Bowden was all about himself, right? He was me. So when he came out of that interview where they told him, we're going to hire you, Terry. We're going to make you the next head coach of Auburn University. And we're going to take you away from Samford and you get to be coach of Auburn. But you need to keep Wayne Hall as your defensive coordinator. Okay, what you just said is that any coach today would hear that and think, they're telling me who my coaches have to be? That's a deal breaker, right? Whereas Terry, being Terry heard, I win. Wayne Hall, fine, sounds good. Hey, I just had a great interview, y'all. Let me tell you about it. That's Terry Bowden, see, and that's what happened. And so they thought that it would work again. Yeah.
We hired the coach from Samford. He didn't have the leverage.
Oh, but Bill Clark is at UAB, and he's like, new. Yeah. I said earlier today, I said, when the coach at Louisiana and the coach at UAB both tell you that you're crazy for what you're asking from them, then I'm like, how far down have we got to go, man? Clark was a high school coach. Gus got so much crap for being a high school coach. If we sign Bill Clark, I expect to hear him being referred to as a high school coach. But, there's a couple of middle school coaches in Mountain Brook or something that might be wanting to interview, if you tell them they can't hire their own assistants, that might be a deal breaker for them too. I don't know. But yeah, that's what happened with Napier. That's what happened with Clark. Absolutely today. If we can't get Bill Clark, give up. And here's the thing too.
I don't want Bill Clark.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And I'm about to say, look, not only are we down to the coaches we don't even want, we can't even get them. Think about that for a minute. We can't even get the ones we don't want. This is like you go to a dance and there's like five beautiful young ladies standing there and they all say, no, I don't want to dance with you. And you're like, man, I really came here wanting to dance. I got my nice shoes on, you know, the music's cool. So you go over to the young lady that's, you know, not getting so much attention and is, you know, not the prettiest girl at the ball. And she tells you to go to hell too. That's where we are.
Time out. How many job offers have ever been turned down by college head football coaches? Zero. None. Because no job is actually offered until the person signed the contract, okay? Every college coach ever that you've ever heard say, I'm turning down this job, they were at a point where, you know, they hadn't actually been offered the job yet. This is how it works all the time. So some of this, it is possible, and you need to consider this, that, for example, some of the Napier stuff is he went into the interview and maybe he didn't like what he heard. But maybe also he said, if you're going to hire me, you got 12 hours or whatever, and then I'm going back to coach my bowl game. And they said, you know, we're not meeting your demands or whatever else. So we're not good. We want you to have Steele, for example, and who Napier had worked together with at two other schools. And he said, no, I'm out. I'm going back to my school. I'm going back to Louisiana. Okay. So sometimes people aren't going to get the job and they say, no, you know, and I get it. Like I was warming up to the idea of Napier as a candidate. Okay. I'm at the point, and what let's talk about, you know, who the candidates have been, who the candidates are, and who the candidates ought to be. Okay. So, you know,
all right, you got to start with
let's
crystal
talk
ball.
Through that.
We got to start with the old crystal right. ball. That's to me, you start and finish there. You ask him, what does he need to do the job? He says it, and you write him a check. It's simple. Yes. If that's who we wanted, if that's who we thought was a game changer that was going to save the program and make us competitive with Alabama and Georgia, then that's what we needed to do, period. And when they didn't get that done, I thought, oh, boy. Well, the next two, Sark and I guess Napier, I have them out of order. But let me ask you about Venables. I haven't heard word one about him.
He's on the list.
I know he was on the interview list. The other Clemson coordinator, Elliott, he actually opted out and said, I don't even want to talk to you. But Venables, I have not heard a peep about. He's the only one I haven't heard anything about in the last 48 hours. Nothing. But let's put a pin in.
That's a good sign because this list I've
I'll take him. I would take him over any of the ones that are left. All right. So Cristobal said no. Apparently Sarkisian used this to negotiate a better assistant contract at Alabama. We know he has designs on the actual Alabama job, and pretty much going to Auburn would end, right? There's no way he would ever be Alabama coach if he was the Auburn coach. There's just that would be career suicide if his goal is to be Alabama coach. So he said no. We basically, it sounded like, offered the job to Napier, and he turned us down. We haven't heard anything about Venables. Haven't heard anything about Neil Brown other than they put him on the list when the list started getting thin. Like I said, Elliott opted out, and then we added Bill Clark onto the list as well at UAB, and apparently they were really getting hot and heavy negotiating with him, and then it kind of petered out as well late this afternoon. I just couldn't follow it all. So again, what do you know that I haven't
I don't think we're negotiating with anybody. I think we are interviewing people at this stage and talking and trying to decide who we want to hire. I don't think we have negotiated with anybody other than Cristobal. So I think, you know, again, Sarkisian uses to get more money. Napier interviewed, but maybe he didn't like what he heard. And Venables he's correct about Venables. Venables has two kids on Clemson's team. So is he going to leave them and go somewhere else? I don't know. But I like Venables. He's a great defensive coordinator. And the difference between him and the current Georgia coach when he took that job is what? You know, he hadn't been a head coach anywhere before. This guy's a great recruiter and a great defensive coach. He's been in a very successful program. I'd much rather hire somebody tied to Clemson than tied to Alabama right now.
Yep.
And the question for everybody on this list, again, we've talked a lot about the need for offense in college football. The question for everybody on this list is, tell me who your offensive coordinator is going to be and how are you going to score 40 points a game? So,
well, that's why I was leaning towards I originally was, before you reminded me how bad it was, I was originally leaning toward Freeze because I knew he could score 40 something points a game. But then I'm realizing, okay, that's not going to work. Then I started leaning towards Sark because I thought he could too. But obviously that's not going to happen. So at that point, I'm down to, you know, Napier because I felt like he could run a program and is a head coach. We're not like rolling the dice that this person even knows how to be a head coach.
And he's a good recruiter.
Yeah, yeah. And he knows the South and everything. He's worked at Alabama and everywhere. Other than that, I mean, at this point, you got to go out and find somebody off the radar the way that Chizik went out and found Gus to be the offensive coordinator. It can happen.
So this is the question I want to talk about in terms of Steele as a candidate that they're going to come back to, right? We'll talk about Kiffin in a minute. The question for if I'm the interview panel, the question for Steele is very simple. Who is your offensive coordinator going to be? And if the answer is somebody who's going to run a slow, old school kind of offense like Mike Bobo, then the answer is thanks for coming. We'll be in touch. Okay, that's the answer.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
That's right. So again, if Kevin Steele comes in and he's got who we think is the next Gus or the next Joe Brady in his pocket as offensive coordinator, I will listen.
Yeah.
Okay. I would. Now, you know, it depends on how much of this other stuff is real, you know, people is really true. But I would listen at that point. Okay. But if he doesn't, then no, I'm not going to listen. And the same for some of these other guys, the same for Venables, whatever. I need to know who the offensive coordinator is. And I get it. I see Kendall, people saying Kendall Briles, he's a great offensive coordinator, but I'm not hiring anybody who, you know, is related to or worked in the Briles family.
Wow.
Either
blank,
one of them.
Blanket to the fifth generation, blanket ban.
Well, and I'm just, again, the Ole Miss offensive coordinator is the son-in-law, so I'm not hiring him either. So all of them, they're in the no bucket. And that's what I'm going to say. That family doesn't have a monopoly on freaking good offense. There's plenty of good offensive coaches. But I'm going to throw this out there and say we're not happy with the current pool of candidates. We're not happy with how things are going. It's time to step back, lock it down, and look around and take a bigger look around the country at some other potential candidates, okay? And let's say, okay, you know, I mean, do you – and I heard, no, good gosh, Paul Johnson.
Hey, so, you know, John, there's a former offensive coordinator on the market now that won a national championship just a few years ago as an offensive coordinator.
Okay. Yeah, you're funny. So
he's worked with Kevin Steele.
Yeah.
He's worked with this staff before.
I did like Auburn Elvis's thing of Steele getting promoted and hiring Gus as OC. I appreciate that. Or Rhett Lashley.
I didn't see that. I was just, I was actually saying. Okay.
He would bring Gus back just as OC and Steele as head coach, and then that would reverse roles. But I think some of the people that are out there, and I think some of the people, honestly, calling the shots at Auburn, I now honestly think like if they just replaced Gus, that everybody else stayed the same, everything would be different. And I don't think that's 100% the case.
No,
I think you have to look at the big picture and say, who's, you know, a great coach that we could get. Again, I've had two guys on my list in the beginning that Auburn isn't even talking to, and that's fine. But let's look a little bit further. Like, how about, you know, Monken at Army? The guy doesn't have to run the wishbone. That guy's a great coach. We could hire Todd Monken the other Monken who's at Army, Jeff. Or the guy at Coastal Carolina. That is a fun offense. In a year or two, that guy's going to be a big-time Power 5 coach. Why not bet now? Why not go?
I think that the money people here – they felt like the problem was Gus, and if they could get rid of Gus, the rest could be sorted out easily and without a lot of money. Whereas they didn't seem to understand that every time a coaching vacancy is even discussed for Auburn, the Auburn family immediately goes to who is the biggest name, you know, Urban Meyer or Oklahoma, you know, or who's the
Bob
big
Stoops.
Bob Stoops. Oh my gosh. That's what we always, I saw people going Bob Stoops, Urban Meyer. I'm like, they're not even in football anymore. This is like the Tennessee people always wanting the old Tampa Bay coach, you know, Chucky, when he's out of football doing television. It's that it's like the people making the decision are looking at this as a small problem. They look at it as like a surface thing where all they got to do is get the scalpel and cut off that little surface thing and put a Band-Aid on it, and we're good. And the entire Auburn family is like, when you decapitate this thing, what head are you going to stick on there? And they're like, wait, what? Head? We didn't say anything about buying a head. We're just cutting off a little tiny thing here. John Gruden, they don't seem to get that we aim high. Right? That's the thing. The people making the decisions never seem to aim. When was the last, we've talked about this before on the show, when was the last time Auburn ever went out and tried to hire a big coach? Was it Vince Dooley in 1980?
Yes.
Yeah. And that was just because he was an Auburn guy.
We ended up hiring, let's review for people who don't know this history. We ended up hiring the head coach at Wyoming. We ended up hiring the head coach at Samford. We ended up hiring the head coach at Ole Miss. We ended up hiring the head coach at Iowa State. Then we ended up hiring the coach at Arkansas State. Those are where Auburn's hired their coaches from.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Back up. So off the Auburn staff, Wyoming, Samford, Ole Miss, and Iowa State and Arkansas State. Arguably the biggest program we have rated for a head coach is Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we do. So people that have this pie in the sky, I agree with you. That's what we ought to be doing. We act like we're that kind of program, and yet we don't behave like it. We think we're that kind of program, and we are that kind of program. We just don't treat it that way when it's time to actually do something.
We don't act like that. No, I mean, again, so I want to talk about a couple of these other candidates people name. Let's talk about Neil Brown, and then we can talk about Lane Kiffin. I'm not interested in talking about Bill Clark because I'm not interested in hiring him. Houston Nutt, nope. He's canned, rested, or ready.
He's ready, man. You know, he's just sitting back. You know, Jim Donnan is out there. Jim Donnan is available, probably. Rusty nails it. Hey, look, Rusty nails it.
Yes. No, we're Florida, and we're acting like we're Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what's going on.
That's what we always do.
We need to be looking around who are the best coaches in the country and take our time. No, Cutcliffe, 10 years ago. So,
well, I got to say, but what he says here, the last 5-1 championships are Natties. Yeah, and that's with what we had to work with. Imagine if we, we've just gotten lucky that, Terry was able to get an undefeated team, 20 wins out of that, that Pat Dye team. And Chizik was able to bring in Cam. We've gotten some breaks on that. Josh needs to understand, I'd be OC, John would be DC, and we'd need a head coach to keep things running. That's how we've always done it.
John's a defensive guy. I appreciate Winston throwing out Scott Lufford. That's really
nice. Oh, God. Banned. Where's the ban button? Ban this person from the show.
All right. So, I want to talk about a couple other candidates, and then we got 100 other things to talk about tonight. Right. Neil Brown, he was,
the Troy guy.
Coordinator. He was at Troy under Tony Franklin, and then he was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky. Okay. Right. And then he came back and was the head coach at Troy. When he was hired to be the coordinator originally, he was the youngest coordinator in Division I football. Okay.
All right.
So he was then 2 years ago, he was hired to replace Dana Holgorsen at West Virginia. So he's done all that. He's 40. So,
and they like still him, apparently. Younger.
He's younger than any candidate we talked to. Now, again, I like him. I think he has a lot of that kind of spread offensive background. He did good. His record at Troy, he was at Troy for 4 years. So the
beat
first
LSU.
Year he was rebuilding.
Beat LSU.
They went 4-8. Go ahead.
He beat LSU. That's what everybody remembers him for.
That's right. But I mean, he went 4-8, 10-3, 11-2, and 10-3, including beating LSU. Now he's been at West Virginia 2 years. His records at West Virginia are 5-7 and 5-4. So that's a little Gene Chizik, Iowa State-ish. But I guess the thing I think about is he did beat LSU with Troy talent, and he's 40. He's a super young guy, so I think he's still on the way up. He played at Kentucky for Mike Leach and Hal Mumme. So, I mean, I like the youth. I like the potential there.
I don't think we're gonna have to worry about him for a while. I think they're
okay.
I think it's. I don't know.
Okay, I appreciate that. How about again? I poo-pooed this before, but Lane Kiffin.
Say it. I know. Yeah.
Van, how do you really feel about Lane Kiffin?
I would rather have Hugh Freeze and the baggage than Lane Kiffin. Because I tried to explain this last week and didn't do a very good job. Very quickly, at least Hugh Freeze acts like he's not an idiot, even when he's doing idiotic things. Lane Kiffin is an idiot and acts like an idiot. And it's just embarrassing. So maybe the things he's done and gotten caught doing aren't as, you know, horrific. But I'd rather our new coach be a former murderer than a guy that just trips and falls on his face all the time but never actually killed anybody. Does that make sense? Just hardcore, idiot.
But here's the thing. No, Lane Kiffin is a really, really smart guy. He's a schmuck. I mean, I'm trying to use polite words on this podcast, yes. Okay? And PG-rated words. Lane Kiffin is an asshole, okay?
Thank you.
But he's a really good offensive football coach. I get it. I don't think he's an Auburn guy either, but we're having this conversation. Again, some of these other coaches, some other coaches at other places, I would be more interested in.
God, it's going to come around it's going to come around to all this falling apart, and then we're going to end up hiring freaking Lane Kiffin, though. I honestly feel like it's like we're going to go up and down the list and going to bottom out, and then they're going to be, you know what, let's just throw this guy some money and he'll come over here. I have a weird feeling about it.
Again, I'm not interested in hiring Lane Kiffin, but I think I get it.
You did a poll.
Right. I did a poll.
Just bring me on up. Yep. I come up to Auburn. Yep. Drop some ball plays on the ball field. Yep. Get it done. Can't spell UT without UT. All right. How does the poll look?
We're going to try something here. You ready?
Let's do it.
Hold on. Can people see the screen?
Oh, hold on.
No.
There you go.
There we go. A little better.
Power.
Trying to get rid of this crap up here. Anyhow.
Please rank the following candidates for the Auburn head coaching job.
So now we asked the patrons to answer this question, and this is the priority they put them in. Again, Napier and Cristobal at the first. Yep. Then Brent Venables. Yep. Then Luke Fickell, again, who, if it was me, I'd hire him.
This is like my list. Holy crap. This is like exactly my list.
Then Tony Elliott, then Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, in pink.
Then like Kevin Steele. And then we put other. And somebody put Gus Mouse on.
Somebody
put Urban. I just thought that was funny. So.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, that's pretty much exactly my list right there. And that was uncanny. How similar that was. So that makes me feel better, though.
Yes, John could share this, but not his webcam. So,
because he was plugging it into all these different things, and he probably fried it.
No, it's... So, again, I don't believe anybody's turned us down. I think we were talking to those people, and now we're not talking to those people. Again, here's the other thing I want you to... The other scenario that's out there.
Right, okay? Hold on. Yeah, I'm ready to load up the wagon train and come on down to the plains. Sounds like a good plan. Woo-hoo. I'm gonna run the Notre Dame T. This brand new offense, 4 fullbacks and a center. I miss Coach Snyder. Let's see, why so much dislike for Clark? Well, apparently he turned us down, so this is exactly, Rusty, what I was talking about. We were rejected by a Group of Five coach. And I've suggested this several times.
Two things, okay? I want to go back. There's two things here. Number one of the scenarios here is that we have identified a candidate with Venables or Steele and whoever else. I mean, telling these other people no, and then they put out press releases, I have turned down the job. Okay, yeah. After we told them no. That happens in coaching searches all the time. Once their name is leaked, they have to come out and publicly distance themselves and spit on the school if they don't take the job. This happens everywhere with every job. So that is one option, okay, that maybe we're talking to Venables or we've decided on Steele or whatever, and we're driving these other people away, And they're saying no, no, no. Okay, so that's option one. Number two, like on Clark, again, he was a high school coach in Prattville. He supposedly, while he was there, was not friendly to Auburn recruiting.
Right.
And steered players away from Auburn. And that has kind of stuck with a lot of people. And at UAB, I mean, he got the benefit of some really sympathetic, NCAA rules. Not hired to Keo Spike. So,
well, PJ Fleck is the one that MD has asked about. And okay. He was on my list for a long time the last few months. I've had good things to say about PJ Fleck.
I mean, again, he beat us in a bowl game, and I get that. I think he's a good coach. I mean, I think he is well organized, and he gets them. Part of what, again, this goes back to the question I had last week, and I want you all to think about this seriously, okay? What is the criteria that you want as an Auburn coach? And one of them is maybe we want somebody who, you know, kind of gets more done with less, right? And that's, I think that generally was, you know, some of the coaches we've had do that. And I think Fleck does that. I think he's done that in the places he's been. So, I get that. I don't know whether he would come or not. I'm kind of skeptical about that right now. I don't, but I mean, I feel like, did he sign an extension this year or something? There was rumors about him and other jobs, and I think he signed an extension at Minnesota. But I mean, I think he's a good coach. I think he's a really good motivator. I think he's well organized. I think he would do stuff differently. I think he's got a little bit of that Terry Bowden meme thing in him, where he wants a lot of credit and pub for stuff. But I think he has a good eye for hiring talented coaches and turning them loose. They've done a good job recruiting talent up there. So, I know Pat Fitzgerald's going to the NFL. So, I would be okay with Fleck right now compared to where we are. Absolutely, that would be a good hire. Van wrote Tom Herman on here. Texas is keeping Tom Herman.
Are they? Well, I was just going to say,
they announced that they are.
If you ever wanted him, and he was like the hot name just a couple of years ago, then you know what I'm saying? This would be a good time to get him.
Yeah. No, they're keeping him because they couldn't get Urban Meyer. Again, I would hire the Coastal Carolina guy and their whole staff. That offense is fun. They're exciting. Again, they're like the 8th or 10th best team in the country this year. Okay? They're great.
Never saw that
coming. Really good.
Never saw that coming.
And they are the single most fun offense in America right now. So if you want that back, that's the guy we should hire.
Remember when we used to be? Oh, it wasn't that long ago that we were the most fun offense, and then we just – I wish we could just hire that Gus back. 2013 Gus was awesome. 2010 Gus was awesome. 2000 – it wasn't even Cam. 2009 Gus was so much fun. What happened to him? I just don't understand it. It's depressing.
Again, J.B. Chadwell is that guy's name. He's older – than Neil Brown. He's 3 years older than Neil Brown, but he's a young coach at Coastal Carolina. I'd love to hire that guy. Now, again, Bradley's asking about Matt Campbell. I don't think we ever called Matt Campbell. It's because of what I don't think we've called him or the Cincinnati coach because of what Vane was talking about earlier, how we see ourselves as this little school and we can't do that. So, all right. So you did a funny list of questions today about potential interview questions, and I thought that was hilarious, and I would like for you to get into that.
Let me just run through a few of these. These are crowdsourced. This is not me. I simply asked Twitter. This won't take but just a second. But I asked our folks on Twitter, what questions should the committee be asking potential Auburn head coaches to really figure out if they are Auburn material to be our head coach? And several folks gave us some pretty good answers. So Captain Friendly has several on here. He says, here is a list of 4 offices and 3 classrooms in Haley Center. You have 30 minutes to find each room and return with the item indicated on the list. You may not use a map or ask directions from anyone. Good luck. I don't think I could have done that.
I spent years at Haley Center. I don't know if I could do that.
No. Oh, this is a good one. He said, do you have any wealthy friends or relatives who own a Dodge dealership? who is the best running back in the history of college football? A, Bo Jackson. B, thank you for your time. Have a nice day. Here's another question. What is your preferred defensive turnover trophy? A, the chain. B, the money bag. C, the spiked collar. Or D, nice play, son. Go sit down and act like you've been there before. I think we want D pretty much around our parts. Danny Flack said, on a scale from Mac Brown to Ted Lasso, rate your post-game victory dance moves. And I think we saw Gus's. Alpha Control Podcast says, what's your plan for getting Auburn better at celebrating?
Can we get better at celebrating?
That's the truth. Spencer Larsh said, you have $5 million in the budget. What do you do with it? A, football-only facility. B, bag men. C, clone a Carlson. Or D, hire Robo Gus as offensive coordinator. I got to say, Robo Gus has really caught on. I'm really just kind of astonished at how well Robo Gus caught on.
You know, he's not 100%. Not 100%, but he was out there moving around, and it's still kind of day to day at this point. But the encouraging thing for me, he was out there moving around.
So,
Robo Gus.
No, that was reporting on Robo Gus's health. Let's see. He said, Spencer also says, name one obscure rule you intend to use to make Nick Saban throw his headset. I like that one. Justin Parker says, how many screen concepts are in your playbook? And if it's many, then stop by and get you some lemonade on the way out. T. Fairclough says, if your boss leaves Abbeville at 60 miles an hour heading north and you leave your office at 40 miles an hour heading south, where do you meet to get your instructions on how you should do your job? let's see. You said you gain a bunch of yards and hurry the line of scrimmage to run a play. What is the play call? Yeah, because if the play call is run up the middle, then, again, have some lemonade on your way out of town. It's right up there at the corner. M.R. Ingram, noted listener, says, let's do a little word association. Sugar, A, huddle, minus 1,000. B, bowl, plus 250. C, cane beats, et cetera, zero. D, diabetes, you bounce. And finally, Captain Friendly said, I'm not doing very well at this tonight. He says, do you need to have any input on your own assistant coaches and staff, or can we just take care of that for you? A, what? B, thank you for your time. That was very well done, guys. I appreciate. There were a whole bunch more sent in, but I just kind of ran through and got the ones that made me laugh the hardest and threw them on there. I knew it. I couldn't take up too much time tonight. So, all right, there's your. I didn't have a music background to mess that up. I just wanted to get it out there. So, let's see. Anything else we want to talk about the head coaching search before we talk a little bit about signing day and then get to our listener questions and stuff, which I'm sure is going to get us right back to the head coaching.
Let's step back and. Think
Jerry,
about the timing of this, right? Again, if you were in charge of how things worked at Auburn, and they came to you and said, we have the money, we really want, you know, and Al Green said, we have the money, we want to fire Gus. I would have said, signing day is Wednesday, tell me who you're going to hire. And if the answer, and do you have him already, you know, the deal already tied up with a bow with his name on it? And if they didn't, my answer might have been no, okay? Because now we're here. It affected signing day. That's going to be a problem for years to come. And now, again, bowl games start now, okay? Mm-hmm. There are literally bowl games starting today. And they're going to run all the way through the second. This is the other thing that's really impacting Auburn. If the season had ended when it normally would and we weren't in all this stuff, then I would have told everybody we could have had a much better chance to get some of these other candidates. So because of the compressed time of this and when our coaching search popped up versus the games and these other things, it impacted that. It made a difference. And so that's kind of impacts where we are. Our bowl game, again, is like a little more than a week away, you know, 9 days away or whatever. And so, that impacts this too. So, I think the timing of the whole thing is a problem. I think the coaches that we are attempting to talk to are now deep into bowl practice, a lot of them, and they don't have time to talk, and they don't have time to deal with this stuff. And so we kind of missed our window there. And so now we're going to have to wait until this stuff is over, until bowl season is over, and then go back and kind of pick up the pieces and move forward. I mean, that sounds insane, but I think a lot of the people that we're talking to or want to talk to can't do it right now. And I think the constant media frenzy and I'm interested in this job, blah, 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 blah. We need to lock all that stuff down, the leaks and all that, and get fewer people in the room and then have a serious conversation, you know, about where we're going and what we're going to do. So that was kind of where I think we're going. But.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, thank you for that. I don't even want to talk about the signing day class.
Yeah.
We got to the agenda.
Well, we did finish above Mississippi State in the West, as far as I know. We finished behind five other teams, but ahead of Mississippi State. But the thing of it is, John, we weren't going to do that much better if we hadn't fired Gus. The class was what the class was. I mean, we lost a couple of, you know, fairly decent guys like the Goodwin kid, but that wasn't helping us that much. I mean,
I'm not we're not fighting that battle again about should we have, again, but it goes back to the what was the plan and what did we it was going to impact these things. So, you know, that stuff matters. But again, it's not the end of civilization. The recruiting class wasn't very good. It was, you know, trend. But I think, again, a lot of the reasons it trended bad is because there was so much noise about getting rid of Gus. So it's blame the whole yourself. Thing.
Blame yourself.
So.
Blame yourself.
We can blame ourselves.
All right. Well, my last thought about the coaching thing simply is, if we are to the point that we're trying to get the UAB coach and the UAB coach doesn't even want to come to Auburn, burn it down, blow it all up, salt the earth, start over from scratch. It's unsalvageable at that point. You have to go back to square one and you have to do a Saban 2008. You got to pick the person you really want and they say, no, I already told you no. And you say, and they say, but I already told you no. And you say, and you just keep, remember in Smokey and the Bandit, Speedy Car?
No, you back,
speedier
you back
than
up
that?
The dump truck of money and keep pouring.
Make like you're trying to film an Avengers movie and this is Robert Downey Jr.'s house. You just back up as many armored cars as you got to and you get it done. Because this just scraping the bottom of the barrel, then picking the barrel up and scraping the floor under the barrel is humiliating. And here's the thing. Oh, this is what I was going to say a while ago. Here's the thing. Remember, we talked last week about how I was suspecting that a big reason that they did this whole thing, start this whole thing, was they were embarrassed around Alabama fans. Remember that whole conversation? Our people in power don't like to be embarrassed, and they felt like Gus was embarrassing them in some ways as our head coach. Well, guess what? You're to the point now that anybody you're going to hire is going to be even more made fun of. We are at the position now where we're going to be more made fun of by our rivals for this than if we had just kept Gus. And that is truly gut-wrenching and disheartening because they found the house on fire and dropped napalm on it.
I hear you. And again, I'm a little skeptical about the, you know, they were embarrassed by Gus thing and not Gus didn't let them do what they wanted to do thing, which is kind of where I think is some of that going on. And now they want somebody who will let them do what they want to do. And so I get all that. But again, it's still salvageable. We could get a good coach and a year or two from now, we'll be fine. And it may even be somebody that the media likes or whatever. We could be okay. But it may not be something the fans are excited about. But there's lots of good coaching candidates out there. And I get that. No, I mean, 100%. I'm trying to take a screenshot of Van with his head in his hand. So the reason that the rationalization for Steele works is because it's almost like it's orchestrated, right? It's a setup. So
somebody said that a while ago, and I didn't get a chance to put the comment up, but somebody said all this is doing, and one of you guys said it, and I'm sorry, is somebody said, well, all this is doing is just bringing it back around to justifying Steele. And I don't know that's 100% like premeditated, but I think that's what's happening. Whether we like it or not.
I think some of it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So. All right. Let's thank folks real quick. How about? We got to, man. And if we get you a new chair, maybe, and me a new chair, that'd be good so I don't squeak and they're more comfortable. And we're going to have to get us we got to do something with your camera. I know you blame it all on me and StreamYard together in a conspiracy, right? But we got to do something. Surely we can fix it. And here's the folks that are helping us fix it, John. And I'm going to do this real quick. If you want to join the fun, be part of the family and help us do these things, go to www.auwishbone.com. www.auwishbone.com is our main kind of hub site. It's got links to the shows. It's got like a little player. It's got a link to the YouTube channel, as you see here. All that kind of stuff. Let's have some fun. We always have fun when we do this. It's not boring. It's fun, man. I get to go down my list. I hear the folks that are for at least as little as a dollar a month, are helping to pay our expenses and keep our show on the air for another week. They include Carl Von Drunker, Samuel Salvatore, and Christopher Burleson. And then we have to thank Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, Logan Chilton, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, and Susan Trawick, Tom Anderson, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, AU Falling Up, Ben Bloodworth, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, James Greenwell, Joel Beckham, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Timothy, WDE Richie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Alex Nguyen, Blake Heron, and Boris the Tiger, Cato the Barner, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Colby Butler, Danny Flack, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Die Bama, and not a minute too soon, Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kenoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Algorithm, our newest member, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Shannon Butson, Sarah Hines, Shane Bailey, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Todd Gray, Tony Perry, Auburn Elvis in the house, Ben Amos, Brandon Sisson, Brandon Smith, Chris Como, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, Ivor Evans, James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrick, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Lawrence Kane, Mark Squire, Matthew Flowers, Mick Vigicano, we're in the home stretch, Nicholas Craig, Patrick Williams, Paul Bankson, as well as Robert Drain, Robert O. Sammons, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, that's the truth, Ruth, Spanky, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Kenneth Brent Range, Brent Rumble, Chris, and our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now, John, I'm going to assume I should push the button.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
Ooh.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
Holy cow!
And that includes the SEC Power Poll. So let's go ahead and crank that out real quick.
All right, the Power Poll. We're going to attempt to do the screen sharing thing again.
Josh says, I'll buy you a camera for Christmas. Do a one-time donation. That is awesome. It's hilarious and awesome at the same time.
I'm looking at cameras on Amazon while Van is reading the thing. This camera does work. It doesn't work with this, but
we'll figure something out.
Screen up with the power pole.
Oh, yes.
All right, this is the power pole again. Ooh, awesome. From bottom to top. Vanderbilt alone. South Carolina.
We lost to them. We lost to them.
You are out of water.
I know. You know what I say about this list, John?
This yellow thing down here.
You are out of water.
This yellow thing. We lost to that team.
Yes.
All right. So then I'm going to move my mouse here. The mediocre bottom, kind of the bad group, Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee, Mississippi State, kind of in that group.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
Arkansas, kind of the solid center of the conference.
Hey, Arkansas is in the upper, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, they're right. They're the first team on the bottom half. Oh, well.
I get it.
Not bad, though.
They're the best of the bad teams.
They were supposed to be the worst of the worst, so that's pretty darn good.
Ole Miss and LSU, Auburn.
Hey, here we are.
Georgia, Florida A&M, almost tied here. A&M mm-hmm. with a hair ahead. Alabama at the top.
Have we looked at hiring the Arkansas coach?
No, I don't think we can get him right now.
But yeah, well, I'm just saying. I mean, this is a guy that took a team that's supposed to go like 0-10 or whatever, and has him in the mid pack of the conference. Well,
but I think this is a good example, though. Where was he before? He was Georgia's offensive line coach. Okay, that's where he was before. So Arkansas used a little creativity and looked around and said, "Who's a good candidate?" And this guy was a great recruiter, mm-hmm. and he came in and said, "I can put together a great staff. Here's who I can get," and they hired him. If Auburn could identify, I don't care if somebody's been a Division I coach before. I don't. I would take one of the coordinators from Clemson tomorrow.
Oh, but yeah.
I want somebody to outline who their assistants are going to be, and I don't care if they keep in the current assistants. Let them lay out who their staff is going to be, and if there's somebody out there who can do what Pittman's doing in Arkansas, let's hire that person, even sure. if they're a freaking line coach somewhere. Well, again, do you know yeah. Do you know who BYU's offensive coordinator is that's so good?
Whose defensive coordinator?
Jeff Grimes. Do you know who BYU's offensive coordinator is?
Well, who where is Jeff Grimes? I didn't hear the beginning. So Jeff Grimes
is the BYU offensive coordinator.
Oh, okay. And they're pretty good right now.
Yeah. So I was saying that we could hire that person.
Okay.
So
that's the last time our offensive line was really good.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to keep going here. We do not have any questions because it's all questions that, you're out of order and you're out of order.
So we've already answered all the questions, in other words?
We pretty much have. I'm checking right now.
Okay.
Hold on. Yeah. No, I'm just checking some other things for the show. Nope.
Bill
Clark says he's no longer a candidate.
Bill Clark is no longer a candidate? Well, we've been turned down by UAB. I hate to break the news to 14 MRH here, but it won't be, apparently. There we go.
All right. But again, I step back, and I want all of us together, everybody on this call, I want you to take a deep, and you're listening to this podcast in your car or wherever, I want you to take a deep breath, okay? Just breathe.
Inhale. The new Auburn fight song, and plays in the background.
I mean, again, it could end up being okay, really. I'm not happy, but it's about process, and there's a lot of people throwing a lot of stuff out there in the process.
I don't have facts to back this up.
All right, so let's go around the SEC.
You want to take a trip? Let's take a trip.
Yep. Please clap.
Trip around the SEC.
Mira hadn't sounded like that in 8 years. I love it. All right. So what do we got around the SEC in our last segment basically here? Alabama, Florida. That actually turned out to be a good game. I'm glad I watched most of it because Florida, I mean, I said it before, John. We hate Dan Mullen's guts, but I'd have hired him to be my football coach. Say what you will. I would have hired that dude to be our football coach because I don't have to like him. I didn't really like Terry Bowden that much, but he went 20-0. I like 20-0. I enjoyed 20-0, John. I don't know if you remember that, but I did enjoy 20-0. So
I enjoyed it very much.
I'd have hired Dan Mullen.
And again, he's a good football coach. And again, he's a good offensive coach, which is what it's about right now.
Exactly.
So, I don't know how much danger I ever felt Alabama was in, but it was a really good game. And I think that was as well as Florida could possibly play.
Yeah.
All right. LSU
Smoke
beat Ole Miss.
Weed every day.
Just had to get that out there for Josh.
I hear you.
LSU beat Ole Miss. I didn't get to watch a minute of this game, and I'm going to have to go back and watch it on YouTube if I can find the highlights. Because it was assumed.
Fun.
Well, Ole Miss scored immediately, and I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a big beatdown, and I just turned it off and watched another game. I watched there were a bunch of games all at the same time Saturday. It was annoying. Bunch of good ones all at the same time, so I didn't get to see a minute of that. Yeah. But apparently where did LSU suddenly start playing? How did we beat the snot out of LSU this year? It's just bizarre.
Again, you know, there's more random results this year. Teams are more up and down. But LSU got their crud together.
Yeah.
In the second half of the season after we crushed them and they beat Florida and they beat Ole Miss to finish at 500. So
it's crazy. Crazy. The last two times we beat them, we beat their doors off. And every other time they've beaten us. It's so weird. 2014.
All right, so Mississippi State. Mississippi State beat Missouri.
How did they get their act? Oh, I read that Missouri decided to play like man to man and couldn't do it, and Mississippi State just ate them up. That was dumb.
There was some of that, and I think Missouri was missing some people too. But Mississippi State's not terrible.
No, they're not. We remember how our game with them went.
So, and then A&M beat Tennessee pretty badly. So
yeah, I saw that one coming a million miles away. All right, so what we got coming up? Alabama's going to play Notre Dame, which is. I'm like, seriously? And Clemson versus – the thing I was wondering was if there was any way we were going to end up with, like, Clemson number two and Notre Dame number three, and they were going to play for the third time in, like, 2 months, which I think would probably be a college football. I don't think there have ever been a team play three – two teams play three times in one season before. Surely not, right? There's just no way. Maybe back in, like, 1890, you know, like Princeton and – Dartmouth played three times because they were the only two teams in their conference. So they went through, one of them went 3-0 and the other went 0-3 because they played each other three times. That's probably the last time it's ever happened. So what do you think? Alabama, Notre Dame. I think we know. I think we pretty well know.
My cold dead hands.
Lock of the week.
And that's got to be, you know, Alabama. I usually say that for Arkansas, but I had to go ahead and wait, the Texas Bowl, Arkansas versus TCU. Another. Hit it.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
Because Arkansas.
You have failed me for the last time.
So, what do you think about the two playoff games?
I mean, I'm going to be honest. The entire playoffs and bowl system needs to be blown up and scrapped and start over. It's really bad.
I like this. Yes.
The matchups are terrible. There is no chance that a non Power Five team will ever make the playoff in its current structure. It's just zero. Like Cincinnati right now, I think would beat Ohio State or Notre Dame, either one.
Certainly Notre
Dame. They weren't even considered. And they dropped down some non Power Five teams. So the other teams got, you know, bigger bowl bids. So it's a bunch of crud. It's going to be Alabama Clemson again. And I'm not going to watch the semifinals at all. I mean, I'm just going to tell you. I think Clemson's really good. I think Alabama's going to beat them pretty solidly unless something happens.
It's going to be Alabama Clemson again, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be Alabama Clemson again, and Alabama's going to beat them.
That's it.
So just don't talk yourself into anything else. So
no. Hey, that's usually my job to tell you that. any other games here? I'm looking at the other Tennessee, West Virginia, well, Liberty Bowl. I mean,
well, again, we got ours. South Carolina plays UAB on Saturday. We got to talk about that because it's not even going to happen. By the time we have a podcast again, that game will be over.
Yeah.
No, the rest of them are blah, 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 blah. In terms of the SEC games, I don't care. South Carolina doesn't deserve a bowl bid. They went 2-8. I know they changed the rules this year, but they don't deserve one. They went 2-8, fired their coach. They don't deserve a bowl bid. This is all about the SEC maximizing revenue. Yep. That's what's going on here.
Yep.
So they're getting more TV money from having more bowl things.
Well, Florida, Oklahoma is intriguing.
Yes. The best of the SEC bowl games is Florida, Oklahoma, and that's 8 p.m. I think it's on the 30th.
I'll be honest with you right now. Georgia, Cincinnati is a little tasty morsel, and A&M North Carolina I may tune in for. That sounds interesting.
Now, A&M North Carolina is going to be a really good game. North Carolina's offense is really, really good.
Yes,
they're going to score some points.
I think
Ole Miss Indiana could be a really fun game too.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be some points scored in that game too. There's going to be some points scored there too. Yeah, no doubt about it. Auburn Northwestern. I guess we'll do a bowl preview. Maybe we'll have time. I don't know.
Yeah, a week from now we'll wrap up. Talk more about coaching search chaos, and then we'll talk about the preview of the Auburn Northwestern game in the bowl game, the Citrus Bowl. And I'm just going to warn you now, like, Northwestern's really good on defense, okay, and they're not good on offense. So this could be like a kind of a boring game, defensive game. So just prepare yourselves now. It's not going to be like that other Northwestern Auburn game.
Oh man, that 2009 Yeah. That was the game that
it's
got us
be
all
like,
that 2009-2010 bowl game was our last competitive football game before we got Cam. And that's the one that got me all excited about 2010 because we had played so well against Alabama in the Iron Bowl that year, even though we lost. They were national champions, undefeated. And then we played so well and looked awesome battling into overtime against Northwestern that I was like, man, we get in some more players. And we knew, you know, we knew that some of those guys were coming. I'm like, oh, 2010 has a possibility to be a very memorable year. You think? It turned out to be. Uh-oh. Hold on, Bradley.
It's a trap.
Oh, what do you think about Elvis' question here?
Okay. No. Again, Northwestern's defense is really good, and our offense is not going to look good in this game. Prepare yourselves now, okay? So, a lot to go on there. For our patrons, there's a bowl pool. I sent out a link today. You need to join it soon because bowl games are starting. That includes YouTube, Ian.
What am I doing?
I didn't make it. They're joining the bowl pool that I sent out today for the patrons.
Oh, good. Yeah, bowl pool. So, yeah, we've got the yet another perk for the patrons. You've gotten to do your SEC Power Poll every week, and you get to be part of the bowl pick'em pool, which will be awesome. We're constantly trying to find these fun things because, you know, a couple of things I've learned over the last couple of years doing this is that, you know, patrons don't want something time-consuming. They don't want something that's away from the core concept of our show. But they do enjoy doing something on the side, like, you know, a March Madness pick'em or a bowl pool pick'em type thing, or the voting in the, you know, for the power poll or whatever. We're trying to give you guys stuff that you like. So that's just another example, you know. So if you ever have any ideas for stuff that we could do, you know, drop us a message or tweet or something or email, and you know, we'll look at it. We'll consider it because we're always trying to come up with new stuff. Doing the videos like this is just another example. You know, somebody suggested it yesterday, I think, on Twitter, said you guys ought to do a live show, talk about the coaching thing. I'm like, hey, we haven't had really a reason to do a live show in a while, but I thought it was a legitimate suggestion. And so here we are. Here we all are. So, all right. Well, John, you got it's 10:34 Communist time over in your Eastern Bloc part of the country. So you got to go to bed soon. So we're going to cut you loose here, and I'm going to head out, and I got to turn this into a podcast before I go to bed. So any final thoughts on all this chaos?
I do have a couple of final thoughts. I want to first all for a moment to think about the players on Auburn's current roster. And especially, like, I want you to think, like, you're a freshman player at Auburn. You've never lived away from home. You're 18 years old. You signed to join the team and go to Auburn. You're excited about going to college, getting away from home, and, you know, living on your own. And you go through this season, okay? You don't know if football is going to happen. You don't know if it's going to make it gets canceled. Maybe it doesn't. Then it's on. You know, you don't get a real fall. You don't get spring practice. You don't get a real fall practice. Fall practice is kind of weird, and everybody's worried about, you know, masking and staying apart and all that kind of stuff in the meetings. You don't get to go out at night and on the weekends. You don't get to go home. You're stuck on campus, kind of sitting in your dorm room, and everybody keeps telling you to be careful so you don't affect the rest of the team. You don't get to go home the whole season, okay? Until it's over. And so, you know, then they gave the players some time off now after the last game to go home and come back, but that's tough. Okay, that's been tough on them, and I think about them a lot, and I know the players loved Gus and they were unhappy to see him gone and played very hard for him, and I think they're probably not enjoying watching the current circus, and it's bothering them at least as much as it's bothering us. So you know, whatever happens, some players are going to leave regardless of who the new coach is. Even if it's somebody in the current staff, a bunch of players are going to leave. It's going to happen. And you should expect it, but that's part of this deal. And so I think about them right now and what they're going through. And, you know, I hope that we hire a good coach who, again, and this kind of thing matters to me, somebody who is a good person.
Well said, yeah. You know, it occurs to me, talking about bowl games for the first time really tonight, I think I finally kind of put my finger on what's felt so weird about all of our games this season because of the circumstances. To me, and maybe it's just me, but to me, it's almost felt like every single game we played this year was like a crap-level bowl game in Birmingham or Shreveport or something, with nobody in the stands and just not as much excitement as there needed to be, you know, as there ought to be. And it just kind of felt every game this season felt kind of like we were watching a 7-5 Auburn team playing in the Weed Eater Bowl. That's how every game felt in a way. And it's depressing. It's not the player's fault or anything like that. That's just how it felt. And given that, going 6-4 for Gus was actually pretty good. For Gus's team to go 6-4 in bowl games, they should have given him a raise after this year. But we, yeah, so there you go. There's my observation for whatever little it's worth. All right, John, I guess we're going to close up shop. I appreciate everybody tuning in and joining us. The comments have been fantastic. I'm sorry I couldn't get all of them up there. We had tons of great comments. I just felt like if I kept putting every comment up, I was going to derail myself and John. We were going to be going till 3 o'clock in the morning, which might have been fun, but it wouldn't be great for either one of us to do or any of you guys to hang around. So it worked out really good. And again, this will go up as our regular podcast tonight for ready for tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning. So, all right, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at auwishbone and at facebook.com/auwishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.